This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know. And if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Good afternoon, Lauren Rosewarne.
Hello, Warren. Thanks for having me.
How do we explain this phenomenon? Why are people suddenly so obsessed with travelling for pastries?
So it's not totally new. I was doing some research on this and it looks like this has always been a thing. Monasteries, you know, in out-of-way places, for example, in parts of Europe would sell a kind of, you know, beta Portuguese tart or some sort of delicacy in the hope that it would draw people who were tourists in the nearby area to come to their monastery. So there's been a bit of this for a while. I think you could also say wineries and stuff like that have also been sort of hotspots for tourists. But this seems to have ratcheted up a bit, and it seems like social media plays a really big role in this, that people photograph themselves eating this amazing-looking bakery item, and that then gets people excited about going and trying it, particularly if it looks and the person describes it as sounding thoroughly delicious.
And if it's not when you get there.
Well, I think that's the other part of this story. Years and years and years ago, we're talking probably 20-odd years ago, I went to Paris and I remember reading an article that said that the very best hot chocolate was at this place. So I made an effort to find it and it was like, it was okay. Now, I didn't go there specifically for it. I think had my whole trip been designed around the hot chocolate, it would have been disappointing. But I think there is an element there as well about, you know, perhaps have a few bakery destinations in the trip, because I think it's a lot to hang an entire holiday on one donut.
You just reminded me of when I was in Hanoi last year, and there was everyone was saying this is the best place to get egg coffee in Vietnam. And I went to the bakery and they had the coffee, and the coffee was lovely, but I had to queue for it. And then around the corner, there's every place had it.
And I had one
it was just as good.
One of my best friends literally just returned from Vietnam this week and she got hooked on the egg coffee.
Oh, but yum.
Again, though, that idea that this is something that you can find in a lot of places seems to be what lots of locals will say about places. Let's say you travel to parts of China and that's the very best place to have dumplings and the line's, you know, 3 kilometres long.
Oh, I could have eaten 10
And locals would say, yeah, locals would say there are 10 other places that have exactly the same things as just as nice but haven't been Instagrammed and therefore aren't getting the kind of attention. And, you know, some of these things also are sort of flash in the pan. Everyone wants to line up for the rainbow bagel this week, and then in a week later, it's over. The moment's gone.
Apparently there's a Korean word for it. I don't know how to say it, but it means bread pilgrimage. Do you think this is a global trend or something that appeals more to certain classes or cultures?
I think for the ones that involve going, say, to San Francisco to eat sourdough, there's a level there of class mobility, you know, in the sense you need some money to travel. But it does, it's not hugely resource intensive to go, let's say, to a bakery, let's say in the next suburb, which you wouldn't normally go to, but you read that they had really good, I don't know, vanilla slices. And I think we can all do that kind of thing if we're interested. I think for the pilgrimage idea, I think of people who do really long cycle treks, you know, or something physically arduous where at the end of it, you end up somewhere really decadent. That feels pilgrimage-like to me because you're getting a reward at the end from all this sort of physical output.
We're chatting with Lauren Rosewarne about the new trend of bakery tourism. It's not just about the croissants or the paper bags or the cream. If you've got a story about a bakery that you think is worth travelling for, text us 0427 569 949 and we'll get to those shortly. Lauren, there's a bakery slash sandwich place near me that always has lines and queues, and I've never tried it because I think, I haven't got time to sit in the line.
Same as me. I feel like a younger Lauren might have lined up, but I'm bitter and twisted now. I can't be lining up.
Me too.
For baked goods.
Anyway, a friend of mine said, look, I'll do the lining up and get us a sandwich. And he did that and we ate the sandwiches. I can't stand rocket. It's the only thing in the world that I think I can't eat. It just, to me, it just overpowers everything else in the sandwich. Came back. I reckon there was about an inch thick of rocket in this sandwich. So I said, I'll make you one. I reckon it will be just as good. I made one of my famous toasted sandwiches and he loved it and said, that's worth it.
Now you could have lines of people outside your own home, Warren.
Definitely. Now,
lining up for the Jaffle.
I find particularly in Victoria, there's always people claiming this is the best pie, for example, or this is the best vanilla slice.
Or the vanilla slice, which dates back to, I remember I was working in politics for my sins in one of my very first jobs, and it was around that time when Kennett's obsession with the very best vanilla slice was on, and we're talking in the 1990s, and it was like whoever the rural bakery that got the accolade that year. And it seems like people are still quite interested in vanilla slices, even if I think our tastes have gone in lots of different and I'd say more multicultural directions.
Maria in Hobart says, I planned an entire girls' weekend in Melbourne around Loon croissants. We lined up for an hour, but oh my God. And then Tim says,
is the oh my God though worth it or not worth it? Because I'm oh my Godding if I have to line up for more than 5 minutes.
Me too.
And it's not a good oh my God, it's a bad one.
Tim in Ballarat says, flew to Sydney and made my mate stop at Flower and Stone before I even dropped my bags. Priorities,
I
right.
I like that story.
And
it reminds me of a few years ago before Krispy Kreme came to Melbourne, that when it was in other states and people were buying
that's
it
right,
and
at the
bringing
airport.
On aeroplanes. Yeah. Oh, and it's funny because now they seem to be at every 7-Eleven, you know, taking away my beloved Mr. Donut and replacing it with Krispy Kreme. That's another story that we can talk about another time. I'm still traumatized. But it's funny how just in a, you know, really short turnaround, there's loads of Krispy Kreme when it was a thing worth traveling
and
for.
And now you don't want it.
No.
Renee in Brunswick West says, I've done bakery crawls in Paris and Preston. Preston won, hands down. There you go, Lauren.
I think that's a really interesting thing because, again, when you said before about lining up in Melbourne, part of my cynicism is you actually don't have to travel very far to get quality, like coffee or quality baked goods. They're in every suburb. There's dodgy ones, but there's great ones in every suburb.
James says from Footscray, I think bakery tourism is the only reason I own activewear. Like, at least you run it off. James, you get rid of the
or
calories.
Or do you? And you're just sort of cozy with your carbs.
Mira in Carlton says, took my mum on a best hot cross buns tour across Melbourne at Easter. She still talks about it. Well, that's good. I suppose that's an experience with your mum, isn't it? Which is a nice thing to do.
It's interesting, though, because I like a good hot cross bun and I'm disappointed that it's starting to, you know, they're starting to leave the supermarket. But how many can you eat in a day?
Max, I like this one. Made a Google Map layer of pastry places to try before I die. Currently at 27 out of 100.
Oh, that's really, you know, you better pace yourself more because what if you get to the 100 and it's like, I'm not going to drop dead anytime soon? You've got to reimagine the list.
Are we seeing, is it a food elitism here, do you reckon?
Look, I think there is an in-group, out-group thing about this. You know, do you know the best bakery? You know, there's a sort of secret knowledge thing about it. And I think there's an element there of people wanting experiences that seem authentic. Mm. And I think in a world where a lot of stuff seems mass-produced, the idea of lining up and paying a lot for an item feels like you're part of something special, even if there's a, you know, sometimes a luxury in being able to afford that. But that said, it doesn't always have to be that, you know, local bakeries in non-flash areas, Preston was mentioned earlier, can also have, you know, exciting treats. It's just that people aren't necessarily Instagramming them.
Exactly. Lauren, always good to chat with you. We'll talk with you next week.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Warren.
It's Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.